I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rochelle Lissner. Rochelle's mission is and has always been to energize, inspire, and educate business owners to achieve productivity, profit, and peace. Since 2007, she has helped corporations and entrepreneurs resolve their sales, internal communications, and business growth headaches. Rochelle's deep understanding of how to communicate powerfully in a noisy world, both internally and externally, helps business owners and their teams engage in storytelling, not boring telling, for the consistent and powerful verbal branding they need for greater focus and profits. Rochelle, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on.
Oh, and I thank you for the invitation.
So I wonder if we could start off by talking a little bit about why it is you ended up doing what you're doing, which is really an exciting niche in the business world.
Oh, gosh, it goes back to, I always have that expression, we make plans and God laughs. So I was in the travel industry for many years, and I was a corporate travel agent, and I worked with what I would always call the most difficult of clients, and I had a real diverse background. I worked with some of the most complicated personalities, and I was pretty great at it, if I have to say so myself. But where the industry changed, it was time for me to look and see what was my next move. Was I going to stay only in my comfort zone, watching an industry go downhill, or could I take the things that I was really good at and transform it and use it into a different path? And that's exactly what I did right now. And I'm very proud to say that the move was successful. I absolutely love what I do, and it was the best decision I ever made.
So talk to me a little bit about what it sounds like you were noticing that there was a plateau on the horizon, or maybe you were already in a plateau when you started thinking about what your next move would be. Talk to me about how you notice that a change is needed.
Well, here we go. We can, and I think we all see the change is knocking at our door. But the key is, do we want to listen? And to be honest, I have to say, I was not listening in the beginning. So what happens? We have knock, knock, and who's there? You know, my industry was drastically affected, and there were three areas. So number one was 9/11. So after 9/11, nobody really traveled for a year. Then I had a second crisis, which was part two, was a SARS epidemic. Well, I dealt with a huge international clientele that went to Asia, and all of a sudden, they're not going to Asia. And the third one, which really made me see I have no choice, was there was a massive hurricane just prior to a Christmas season that wiped out a huge booking. And the person, needless to say, was enraged that he couldn't travel at the time that he had in mind. So I realized that I had terrorism, I had a natural disaster, and I had a plague. So if those weren't three profound signs that it's time to shift, I don't know what was. And I realized that, therefore, I couldn't sit anymore. It was time to do something different.
So you think most people recognize when there are warning signs that what they're doing has some trouble ahead?
Absolutely. There are major signs in your industry. There are major signs that are brought out. Basically, is technology impacting your industry? You must pay attention to it. Is the market changing? So something that was in generally, we took it domestically, now a lot of it's outsourced internationally. We have to look at trends because the trends are going to impact what you're doing. But most of us, unfortunately, are more committed to our comfort zone than making the shift.
And you'd been doing what you were doing for a long time, right?
I did it for about 20 years. And here was the painful thing. I loved it. It's not like I did it and I no longer enjoyed it. So imagine giving up something that you really enjoy doing. It gave you pride. It gave you identity. It gave you energy. And imagine having to shift in the eye of all of that. And I'm proud to say I did just that.
So how did it feel when you were in the eye of the storm and you realized that you needed to make a change? But as you said, change seems daunting. And how do you think other people in a similar role, particularly entrepreneurs, feel when they're also in a comfortable place, things have been working well for a long time, but trouble is lying ahead?
Well, two things. The one thing that I suggest we don't do is you know, put your head in the sand and pretend that it's not coming. And I think my only, if you want to say regret, is that I didn't do this sooner. So we need to look at the signs and not ignore it. So that's number one. Number two is I believe that it's very difficult to do this on your own, because on our own, what I was connected to was my fear. And when I'm making that kind of a change, I wasn't just frightened, I was petrified. So without the correct support, and I really mean that, we need team to help us. Without the correct support, our fear is going to strangle us. With the correct support, we can take very small steps, and each step has a compound effect. So one small step leads to the next, leads to the next. And before you know it, you're running down the road already. You've got to get the inertia. You must break the inertia. Once you get the movement going, the rest is easy on your own.
Rochelle, how did you realize that you needed support?
I was consumed by fear. I did not have a plan. And without a plan and being consumed by fear, I could not take any steps. So that's when I knew I really needed support. It wasn't an option.
And how did you find that support?
Well, support is all around you. The first thing that you need to do, number one, is recognize you need it. And number two, create an awareness. Once you have an awareness, that's when the opportunities start opening up. So I was always very, very big on what I would consider personal growth and business growth. I was always a junkie, if you want to call it, for seminars. So I went to a seminar, and there was an amazing speaker. And out of sheer, I guess if you want to call nerve, audacity, chutzpah, I had written this person an email and asked, would he be willing to mentor me through this transition and into what I think would be my next opportunity? And I was very happy to say the person said yes. Had I not asked, who knows where I'd be today? And I want to give people in the audience, I want them to recognize, ask for support. You would be amazed how people will roll up their sleeves and it would be their pleasure to help you move into whatever your next opportunity, your next success factor would be.
What are the challenges to asking for that kind of support?
Number one, your main challenge is what I call our personal ego or our shyness. My thought would have been, well, what would this amazing guru in his field, why would he want to talk to me? What do I have to offer? We can't go from the position of what do I have to offer, because you'll never win that game. You want to take that shot. Worst comes to worst, they'll decline, but there's such a great opportunity that they will say yes. And if this person doesn't say yes, the next person will. It's almost like sales. If the first person won't, let's just say, buy from you, there's another one that will. But the key is we need to be persistent and we need to be consistent.
So what has some of the results been after you made the transition from what you had been doing for many years into your new business?
Well, what was some result is that I have a business. I mean, it doesn't have, and here's the key. Unfortunately, our culture believes that there's something called the silver bullet and we have immediate results. That does not happen. You know, results come inch by inch, and it's not a cinch. It's based on consistency. So in the beginning, it took a while until I did create the momentum, until I did get my first client, until I did get my third, fourth, fifth. But I'm proud to say that that with that persistence and with the passion that I put forth, I have a business today.
Describe your business.
Well, I do two things. I work with what I call business development, and I have two areas of opportunity. One is that solo practitioner, like myself. We go into business because we love what we do. However, there's a second part of that. We have to understand business. We have to understand what's it like to market, sales, look at your P&L statements, understand hiring. So those are factors that I support both companies and solo practitioners in so that they can take their business from whatever level it is right now to the next.
And I know one of the things that you talk about a lot is storytelling, not boring telling. Why is that so important?
Oh, it's huge. See, today, you know, there's two reasons for it. Number one, very often when we're out in the market, if we're networking or even through our marketing, very often we identify through what I call a title. So if you meet an accountant, you'll say he'll say he's an accountant. The lawyer will say, I'm a lawyer. What happens is you blend and you don't get a full scope of what they're capable of doing. And the worst part is, if you're in an industry that has a poor reputation, we have this already listening of what that is, and we literally tune out. And today, when we are so we're bombarded with messages, we have to say something in a very different way that can attract somebody's attention, and most important, we leave an impact. And I believe the only way of doing that is through telling an effective story. Somebody will remember your story, and therefore they'll remember you, because a story connects to somebody emotionally.
Would you be willing to share an example of a great story that may have transformed a business that might have sounded boring before creating that story?
Oh, let me tell you a big one. I had a client that was going overseas to address his association. This person is in pest control, and he was going to China, if you can imagine, to speak about how he takes care of some of the key landmarks in Manhattan. Now, if you cannot get more boring than pest control, you know, let me know. So initially, he was telling facts and figures about each property that he was talking about. And I'm telling you, he was on his second slide, and I was literally, he almost knocked me out cold from being boring. So what we did is we took that entire situation and we created stories around each vignette. So the first vignette is he showed a picture of the Empire State Building when it was lit up green. And he said, I am proud to say that we created the first green pest management service for the Empire State Building. There was a visual. The next, he showed a picture of the UN. And he said, if you can imagine, 2 weeks before the General Assembly, the UN was hit with bed bugs. And we were charged to eradicate that. And he told a hilarious story, and he said, we were successful, and my most effective employee was, and it shows a picture of a dog, his dog. Well, he had the audience in the palm of his hand. From telling these little vignettes, he got a standing ovation. There was a client, there was a person in the audience from Japan who heard about his bed bug services and asked him to teach him how to do bed bugs in Japan. This led to a $100,000 contract. So where I say, are you storytelling or are you boring telling? It is very important to tell people a story that represents your expertise.
Rochelle, do you think that storytelling can help you get out of a plateau?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the one of the things that we all attempt to do when we want to get out of a plateau is we want to, very often we want to increase business. We want to go into new market. If you tell a compelling story, it will differentiate you from most of your competitors. Most competitors talk about facts and figures. They relate to the person from what I call the left brain, from the practical. But when you tell a story, the story will connect with somebody emotionally from the right brain, and therefore you're distinguishing yourselves. It heightens your marketing efforts, and that will bring in more clients, which will smash your plateau.
What are some of the steps we should take to think about how to transform how we talk about ourselves and our businesses into more of a storytelling mode?
Well, the first thing, it's a little more complicated than just a yes, you know, like a 2-second request. But here's what I want you to think about. What do you want to be known for? What is the key factor that you would like to be known for? And what are some great examples or success stories that you've had in business that will represent that? So whatever you want to be known for, you want to dive deep and think about it. What do you want? What are you spending your marketing dollars to be known for? So if it's the best business, like yourself, David, you want to be known for smashing the plateau. That's what you want to be known for. Well, what are the examples of the stories that you've had with your customers that represents that outcome? And then go into detail, speak about the emotion of that situation, not just the facts and figures.
Does it matter what kind of industry you're in? Because I love the story about pest control, because you're right, pest control can seem really boring.
Any industry. You can take any industry and make it exciting if you can do two things with it. Number one, connect it to emotion. And number two, if you're capable, connect it to humor. Everybody loves to chuckle, and everybody loves to, you know, to feel and connect. You can do that to any industry.
Now, we know that for many people, one of their big fears is public speaking. Is there a way that through the crafting of storytelling around your business, you're able to address that particular fear of getting up in front of an audience?
Well, there's two things. One of the reasons they're afraid about public speaking is they're not prepared. They feel that I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm going to stand up and wing it. That's literally shooting yourself in the foot. So number one, you want to craft what you're going to say, whatever it is that you're going to be speaking about. Number two, you must practice. And not only do you have to practice, you have to practice what I call your tonality. How are you saying it? Are you pausing? Are you emphasizing certain words? What's the melody of the way that you're speaking? You need to address that to recognize, will your audience connect to you? The other thing is, if you can record yourself and you can hear yourself, that makes a big difference as well. Now, to actually get over stage fright, that's a different story altogether. Number one, the first thing you need to do before you get on stage, take the deepest breath possible. When we're nervous, we're breathing very shallow, and our body doesn't have enough oxygen, and that exaggerates the nervousness. That's number one. And number two, most people, when they're afraid of speaking, they talk themselves into, oh my God, what if I fail? Is it going to be terrible? I'm going to look like an idiot. That's the main reason they're frightened to go on stage. I suggest that people think the opposite. Instead of saying like, God, oh my God, what's the worst that can happen? I always tell people to say, what's the best that can happen? When you start asking yourself, what's the best that can happen? You start creating patterns, and you start creating thoughts in your mind about how do I create the best. That alone dilutes the fear and can literally shatter the fear that's strangling you.
It's like people talk about having a mindset of abundance.
It's huge. What you think about, it literally, we've heard it over and over again. We may agree with it, we may disagree with it, but the reality is whatever you say creates a subconscious connection to you. And from that subconscious connection, that's where you start creating. So if you're thinking, oh my God, what's the worst that can happen? You've created a connection to the worst, and go figure it, the worst starts presenting itself.
Rochelle, what are some examples you've seen where business owners have a great difficulty creating success that's really true to their mission?
Oh, I've seen it. I see it all over. There's several reasons. I see it all over the place. People have a lot of, they think very big. They say, I'm going to, and they use these first of all, one of the biggest problems I think people have is, number one, they have exaggerated goals. So I just think if somebody's in a small business, let's just say they're making under $1 million, and then the next thing they say is they want to take the business to 10 million within a year, it's unrealistic that somebody can go from 1 million to 10 within a year. You normally don't have the finances and the infrastructure and the operations to support that kind of growth in such a short period of time. So the first thing I really believe is that people need what I call a very realistic vision. It has to be realistic early on. They need the plan. How are they going to do it? How? You start from the end and work backwards. So if this is, you know, if you want to be $1 million next year, well, what does it look like at the end of next year when you've already created that million? How did that happen? And you work backwards. So you need the plan, you need your vision. Most important, how are you going to implement? What is the very specific things you need to do? Most people have an idea, they start everything, and then they drop it very, very early on once they put it on the court. They have no long-term implementation strategy, and that's the key. You need long-term implementation. And then the last thing is you need to get your muscle in persistence and consistency. Because very often, if it's you're smashing a plateau, you need to be doing something different. And that's going to challenge your comfort zone. And in order to do that, we need to be kind and patient with ourselves and take what are the small steps that are going to make that happen. So if you have the plan, if you have the vision, if you have the implementation, and here's the thing, I almost left this out. You need to have the right team in place. On your own, it's almost impossible to do. I believe isolation kills success. You need to have support. Support is what I say, 1 + 1 = 11. It's not 2, it's not 3. With the right support, they will bring you into an arena that you cannot get to on your own.
Why do you think so many people try to do things on their own without the right team?
Well, there's several reasons. Number one, some people can be embarrassed. Well, what happens if I don't pull this off? The least, you know, if people don't know about it, I won't be embarrassed. So that's number one. They're afraid of looking foolish. Number two, they're not sure if they have the resources, and they're not sure that they, you know, how do I pull the resources together? And number three, I'm embarrassed to say, a lot of times people are just thrifty, they're cheap. They don't want to spend the money. So I'll give you a great example on this one. This just happened very recently. I'm part of a networking group, and there was a person in IT, and he needs to hire an additional technician. Now, notice what I'm going to say right now. He has to put his sales on hold because he does not have enough technicians to take on new business. So instead of working with a recruiter, he is attempting to find this person on his own. This is taking up hours of his day, hours, to try to find, you know, he's going through, I don't even know how many resumes. He still hasn't been able to, you know, get the right guy on board. And in the meantime, let's just say he's attempting to save $20,000 by not paying a recruiter fee. It's costing him hours of his time, hours, and he's not taking on any new clients because he doesn't have the bandwidth. So where he thinks he's saving money from not working with a recruiter, it's actually costing him more. People are afraid to allocate funds to new, you know, to new ventures.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
Fear of making a mistake. Well, if I hire this person and I paid this, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 for this recruiting fee, I may not have the money in house to correct that mistake. There, I think our culture is very driven to every decision needs to be the right decision, and if you make a wrong decision, we're pretty brutal to ourselves. And I have a very different philosophy. I believe you don't have to get it right. You have to get it started. And anything that I do, I can always course correct. But the most important thing is to get it started.
I love that.
Yeah. People are waiting that every decision has to be perfect. And they have no kindness to themselves if they make a mistake. They think that a mistake is a tragedy. And I think a mistake is just feedback for what your next action can be.
So getting started is more important than getting it right.
Absolutely. When you start something, it creates the momentum and it gives the project the energy. And it's the energy and the momentum of the project that will make it to the finish line.
That's great. Rochelle, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
Well, I don't want to get, there is a company that I work with in Jersey. They are a high-end wall covering company. And it's second generation, took it over, and they are doing beyond extraordinary work. They are taking their business, and they're not even multiplying it. They're quadrupling it. These are two brothers that are working as a team. They have outside support and counseling in areas that are not their expertise. They work together. They create a plan. They put their team in place. They have an accountability process. And within 2 years, they've more than doubled their business.
So all the steps that you've talked about throughout the course of this discussion, they're implementing on probably a daily basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's great. Now, Rochelle, looking at you, what are you working on that's really exciting?
Well, I've decided that I need more products. See, when I work with clients, it could be long-term, but I don't have what I would call short-term products that somebody can work with me on just one area and then kind of let it go. So I'm working, and here's the key. I'm joining forces with others. I'm looking for myself to experience what I call the 11. 1 + 1 = 11. So I recently did a program on verbal branding. So now I'm going to hook up with somebody who does personal branding. She's a PR person. I'm working with a marketing person that she's going to understand what your online branding look like. And I'm going to speak about verbal branding. So with the three of us coming together and looking at branding from every single corner, I think that's going to create a great product, which I don't think is as detailed in the market today. So I'm really excited to work on that.
That's great.
And it'll be like a boot camp. It'll be programs. It's starting to develop, but I'm so excited about it. I can't even tell you.
Hey, Rochelle, how can listeners learn more about you and find out about what you're about to roll out?
Always website. Website's the key, I think, to the pulse of anything. So my website, which I think is dynamicbusinessgrowth.com. I am on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Mindset for Biz, because it is our mindset that moves our business forward. And then it's I post quite a bit on LinkedIn as well.
That's great. Rochelle, thanks so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today and giving us some great tips about how to get out of your comfort zone and really grow your business in a substantial way that will help you smash the plateau. My guest today has been business growth specialist Rochelle Listener. Thank you again, Rochelle, for joining us.
And I thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter to continue the discussion. Please share this episode with your colleagues and friends, and it would help a great deal if you'd write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.